huge weekend to the north. Seahawks with a big one in the NFC West with the Niners. The Mariners hit the final series of the regular season, tied with Boston for the final wild card spot. Our guest keeps us wired into all of it for 710 ESPN in Seattle. Online, 710sports.com. On Twitter, use at the B Gustafson. Brandon Gustafson, how are you? And of course, your pup Maverick doing?
Oh, we're both doing great. I mean, great weather tonight. Looks like it's going to be pretty nice over the weekend with just some huge games coming up, and especially with the Mariners' sake. I mean, not a lot of us really expected this, especially after they dropped 2-3 at Boston a few weeks ago. But as you and I have kind of talked about a bit during this season, this team's not normal at all, and it's been a lot of fun to follow.
Yeah, I was checking our communication from 5 weeks ago when you were last on, and I said, was anybody comparing these Mariners to the refuse-to-lose team of 95? Because I had kind of a feel, and they've been finding ways to win, so safe to say that theory's kind of caught on, and while it's not refuse-to-lose, it's believe.
Yeah, I mean, this team, if there's one thing, man, they believe in themselves, they believe in each other. No deficit is too big or insurmountable. These guys just keep scratching and clawing. And what's crazy is, you look at, especially just on the offensive side, none of these numbers really jump out. Like, as a team in the American League, they rank last or dead to last in a lot of these major offensive categories. But it's just they come up in these big moments, and their pitching has been so good. Their starting pitching in the second half has been just phenomenal. Marco Gonzalez is 9-0 with a sub-3 ERA since the All-Star break. Tyler Anderson, since the trade deadline, has been phenomenal. Chris Flexen's been solid all year. Logan Gilbert had a fantastic month of September. And then, you know, you and I have talked about the bullpen extensively. Those guys are just nails. If those guys keep them in a game and it's close, we saw the other night, I was there on Wednesday, doesn't really matter. They're going to come up with the big hit sooner or later, and they're just so hard to beat in these close games with that bullpen. And, yeah, might not be refused to lose. That team had a few Hall of Famers, especially in the lineup. Yeah. These guys might not really have that. But, they just find a way to get it done, and thankfully, in their case, they're getting some help with some of these other teams losing, that's for sure.
You know, I saw what you posted on Twitter. Your colleague Mike Salk had one of the best analysts in the business, ESPN's Jeff Passan, on this morning. And so while he said believing can't completely cut it, what did he have to say? I mean, this is a top-flight guy. What did he have to say? What did he really like about this version of the Mariners?
I mean, the word that he used a few times was just tough. I mean, they are just so incredibly tough. They're so resilient. And that's something that, you know, when you're watching on TV or even in the stands or something, that's hard to quantify across any sport, especially in baseball. I mean, you can kind of see in football and hockey and maybe basketball some of those guys and how tough they are. But just with baseball, not only the physical toughness but the mental toughness, that's something that's really hard to tell. And this is a team that very clearly with some of the deficits that they faced, and it looked like they were down and out a few weeks ago multiple times. There were a bunch of different times throughout the season in the second half that it was kind of like, Mariners are done. Focus is going to shift to the Seahawks because that's kind of what it's been for, 20 years up here, right. And that just hasn't happened. Whether it's somebody like Mitch Haniger catching fire, or in September, Jared Kelnick's been one of the best sluggers in all of baseball across the league. I mean, this is just a tough team. It's a tough team to put away, and unfortunately for Boston and Toronto and possibly even your Yankees, I mean, this is a team that's not going away, and this is a team that I don't think anybody wants to face, because when you have that good of a bullpen, especially on the back end with 3, 4, 5 guys that are just tough as nails, and they just come in and get out and do shutdown innings, I mean, that just shortens the game up. In October, that's huge. So if you're a Mariners team and you're able to go into New York potentially against a Gerrit Cole and squeak out a run or two in the first 4 or 5 innings for whoever's starting, I mean, that's basically what Scott Servais and his guys are looking for.
You know, I thought you made a real good point today about the bullpen, with Steckenrider, who wasn't even in the majors last year. Seawald barely saw the field with the Mets. I think you also mentioned Casey Sadler. So the thing is, yeah, they've been great now, but you think that this is not a fluke, and they might even be better next year?
Yeah, this bullpen is primed to do some really cool things next year because it's the three that you've mentioned who've really been carrying this team. I mean, those are the guys that Scott Servais goes to in the sixth through ninth innings. They also added Diego Castillo with the trade deadline. He's been a little more hit and miss, but for the most part, he's been pretty solid since he came over from Tampa Bay. But, yeah, they have Andrés Muñoz, who's a really, really hard-throwing young guy that they got from San Diego in the same trade that brought Luis Torrens and Ty France over last year. And they also signed Ken Giles, who has a ton of closer experience for the Phillies and the Astros and the Blue Jays, who had a really good, I think it was 2019 season. But both of them are recovering from Tommy John. And you add those two guys to the four that I mentioned beforehand. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, if you're a team that's able to shorten up games and get it to the bullpen, that's a tough ask, man. Those are some guys that all kind of offer just a little different variety of stuff out there. You know, the three guys that are pitching right now with Sewald and Sadler and Steckenrider, you know, they have good fastballs, but they're not guys that are really going out there and blowing it by you. But Ken Giles and Andrés Muñoz, those are triple-digit type guys, man. So, yeah, next year could be a lot of fun, but I know that with this team, they're definitely focusing in the now. I think they're a little tired of hearing about the future and what the future holds. They're ready to go out and take it.
Talking Mariners, Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle. So the week the season started, you and I talked about Mitch Haniger returning to the lineup. I think he basically missed a year and a half, you know, beyond his role in the middle of the order, the defense he plays in right field. I mean, just how hard is it to put an actual value, just that stable, consistent play? Because I don't think he's missed more than three or four games all year.
Yeah, they've done a really good job keeping him in the lineup. And a lot of that credit goes to him as well. But from the get-go, Scott Servais basically said they were going to kind of ease him back into action because there were a lot of times when he was having those designated hitter days to stay in the lineup, but just to get him off of his feet because, as you mentioned, I think he got knocked out of action back in like mid or late May or early June of 2019 and then didn't play until opening day of this year. That's a really long time to be out of action. And he had multiple surgeries, and it was just super tough, and it wasn't clear really whether he would be back or what he would look like when he did come back. And as we've seen, he's been one of the best sluggers in baseball. He's approaching 40 home runs. I think he has 95 RBIs, so with him and Seager in the middle of the lineup, they're doing a lot of damage, and that's just been so important. We've seen the value that he has in right field. He had a few outfield assists here recently. His arm is something that other teams have to respect, whether they're trying to take extra bases or they're trying to get a sac fly and it's just not quite deep enough because you know he has that strong, accurate arm. He's been huge. He's been so consistent. And Kyle Seager, you know that the batting average is down, but the slugging's been there. He's consistently been driving in runs. Those two in Ty France and J.P. Crawford as that 1-4, that's been so, so big, especially because this is a team that over the last few years when they've been younger have struggled to put together runs, and earlier in the year they were kind of struggling too. If it wasn't those four guys, it was nobody, but they're getting more contributions from the bottom of the lineup, but those four are definitely kind of leading the charge here.
You know, I'm happy you mentioned Ty France because early in the season we talked about Evan White, his glove at first. Then he goes down for the season in mid-May. France comes in. I think he only played about 110 games his whole career. He's got some pop, drives and runs. He's got a good on-base percentage. I mean, how about that guy stepping in and taking over?
Yeah, he's been huge for this team, and they were expecting that. He was kind of a guy where they were just so in love with the bat that they were like, "Yeah, we'll figure out where he plays defensively, and you know, if he's not going to play defensively, we'll stick him at DH because they valued the bat that much." But with Evan White going down, he stepped right in at first base, and they really haven't missed a beat. I mean, he's a borderline Gold Glove candidate over at first base too. I would be shocked if it's not him or Matt Olson with the Oakland A's who takes home that hardware when all is said and done. So defensively, he's really stepped up. They have a really good defensive infield with him, and Toro's kind of learning the ropes at second base, but J.P. Crawford should win another Gold Glove at shortstop. Kyle Seager's been super solid. And then, yeah, just so steady in the lineup. I mean, his numbers from last year when he first came over from San Diego and then this year, they're like nearly identical, but with a slight uptick in the power. Really, he only had one kind of downtick, and it was about a two-week stretch where he was playing through a forearm injury. He got hit on his right arm with a fastball, and he's trying to play through it and tough it out. He just couldn't quite get it going. You could tell that it was bugging him. He sat down 10 days, came back, and boom, it was like nothing had happened. And he's just been so steady ever since. So having a guy like that, especially as I mentioned, they kind of had some of those struggles offensively in the first half. It's been huge, and it's been fun to see him kind of blossom into a guy that should be here for a long time, driving in runs, contributing in the middle of that lineup.
You know, something you retweeted, one more question about the Mariners, John Morosi of the MLB Network. Pete Woodworth, the pitching coach, he's only 33. Their bullpen coach, Trent Blank, is 32. So, you know, to kind of get their names out there, just how remarkable of a job have they done with a staff few knew with, you know, kind of limited experience?
Yeah, and it's cool that you mentioned that because, yeah, those two have done a really great job. And the Mariners under Jerry Dipoto, the president of baseball ops, they've really been trying to kind of take this team into a more analytical, data-driven age, I guess, after some of the previous 10 years just didn't really implement that. And it's been really cool to see that from the pitching perspective. And, I mean, you look at guys like Paul Sewald and Drew Steckenrider. I mean, these are guys that are fringe candidates to make any team coming into a spring training. I mean, Sewald had like a 6 ERA or something like that heading into this year. And Steckenrider have been bouncing around from team to team. And these guys, I mean, their analytical department and these two coaches, they just kind of said, look, here's what the numbers show that you're really good at. Here's what you're not really good at. We need to focus more on this, and whether that's pitching up in the zone, a different usage of an off-speed pitch. In Sewald's case, they kind of wanted to make the slider a little more long and, I guess, loopier, for lack of a better term, instead of kind of a sharper breaker. And it's paid dividends. I mean, that guy's striking out almost two guys in inning. I mean, it's just been remarkable to see. So, yeah, those two guys, younger guys, just going in there kind of leading the charge. I mean, the pitching staff has just been phenomenal. It's really carried this team both from the bullpen and then in the second half, the starting rotation. So those guys deserve a lot of kudos for what they've done. And three games to go, I know that the pitching's going to be looked at very closely to kind of get this thing across the finish line and get them into the playoffs.
Couple final thoughts for Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle to the Seahawks. Obviously a huge game. They've never lost three in a row with Russell Wilson. I think you quoted Jake Heaps, a former QB who's from up there. What did he have to say about who and what is key to slow down this Niner offense with or without George Kittle?
Yeah, I mean, Kittle potentially being out is just massive because he does basically everything for that team. But they love the run game. They love to use the screen game. It's just a really dynamic offense. And the linebackers, frankly, over the last few weeks have kind of had a rough go because Derrick Henry was able to get some big runs. Not only, you know, that's not just on the linebackers, but last week, Alexander Mattinson, the backup running back for the Vikings, he had a lot of big plays in the pass game and the run game. But with that defense that the Seahawks are running, it's kind of a soft zone cover three. The linebackers have a lot of responsibility underneath, and that's really where they got beaten. And Kyle Shanahan's one of the best offensive minds in football, and with or without George Kittle, they're gonna be presenting a lot of things that the Seahawks have struggled with this year. So, like you mentioned, huge game. Never lost three with Russell Wilson. And, you know, it's funny because with the Mariners doing so well, I don't think people realize just how big of a game this is.
Right.
I mean, you're potentially down 1-3 going into a short week against the Los Angeles Rams, who just knocked off the defending Super Bowl champions in the Tampa Bay Bucks, and have Matt Stafford playing just lights out at quarterback. This is a huge, huge game for the Seahawks to get right. All offseason was the talk about whether Russell Wilson was happy and whatnot. I think I've even told you that this was a big year for them because it didn't make a lot of sense to move on from him last offseason, but it's a little easier this offseason if things don't start right in the ship. I mean, those rumors about Russ to God knows where, those are going to start heating up pretty soon if this team doesn't get things right.
Yeah, you hear about Rodgers is leaving, Russ Wilson is leaving, Damian Lillard's leaving, and I'm like, yeah, not just yet. Let's see how it plays out. But I know Pete Carroll met with the media today. I wanted to get to health-wise. I know Tyler Lockett sat out of practice. I think DK Metcalf was limited. The tight end, Gerald Everett, up in the air. What did Pete Carroll, or what have you heard about the status of those guys?
Yeah, so it sounds like Tyler Lockett's going to be good to go. He has Pete was saying that he kind of has a hip issue that's bugged him for a while, and they just kind of wanted to get him off of his feet this week. Sounds like he practiced either fully or limited today, but he has the questionable designation, but sounds like he's good to go. DK Metcalf, sore foot, kind of a similar thing. They just wanted to give him that rest day. He was a limited participant yesterday, and just make sure that he's fully healthy going in. Gerald Everett's a different case, unfortunately. He's vaccinated, but he contracted COVID, so they're waiting until he's able to have multiple negative tests. They're just running up against the clock at this point because he has to test negatively back-to-back days, and he hasn't done that yet. I'm not sure if he can test once more today or whether that next test will be tomorrow. So it's really wait and see for him, but it's not looking super likely. The good news is that they're getting Colby Parkinson, the second-year tight end, back off of IR. He had a foot injury this offseason, but it sounds like he's going to be good to go to at least help ease the burden at that position. And for the most part, they're fairly healthy. I mean, they have a few guys, Alton Robinson and Benson Mayowa, two defensive ends. They're questionable, but they both sound on track to play. One of the guys that is going to be out, unfortunately, is Brandon Shell, the starting right tackle, who's played some pretty good football last year and even this year up until he injured his ankle. And that's a tough 49ers defensive line with Nick Bosa and company out there. So that's a pretty big loss, and that's something to definitely keep track of. But overall, pretty healthy. Sounds like the skill guys, as far as the playmakers and pass catchers on offense, are going to be good to go, which is good news for Russell Wilson, especially because the 49ers are down two of their top three cornerbacks.
Man, what a fun time to be able to talk about all this. Big games. Then you got a Thursday game, pennant fever. Man, Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle, online 710sports.com. On Twitter, use @TheBGustafson. Brandon, awesome stuff, great information. Always appreciate your time. I would say enjoy the weekend, but kind of like us, it seems like in other people's hands, but we'll do what we can.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, have a good one.